This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Shondell Marks for that rendition.
Yeah, that's my impression of Shondell Marks.
I'm just nicely done.
Well, thank you. You know, in the old days, it was okay for guys to sing falsetto.
What? It's not anymore?
Well,
what
do you mean in the old days? You don't hear anybody doing a Frankie Valli, right?
No,
I want to hear a rap song in falsetto.
Falsetto?
I don't think I've heard that.
That's a good
yet.
Idea. Okay.
Hey, there's the idea right there.
Right. I like it. Okay. All right.
We're going to talk about the big story here, and that is the fires in California.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. 35,000 acres have burned.
Yeah.
10,000 structures. They estimate maybe 5,000 homes and 180,000 people have been relocated or, you know, have been evacuated.
Well, there's a lot of video showing the devastation. And as I'm watching a lot of this video, it is almost hard to watch because I know what I'm seeing is, you know, horrific. But at the same time, it's probably even more horrific if you see it in person and you see the entire lot, the entire neighborhood, you know, just wiped out, totally off the map.
All over Los Angeles County, you know, five or six different
when you have 60 to 70, 80 mile per hour winds.
Yeah.
Just amazing what it does to fire.
$150 billion in damage, they're guesstimating so far. And the air quality, too, is just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, the other thing, too, my wife mentioned the video where somebody's in a house and they have windows all the way around their house and they're taking a video with their camera and they're showing the flames. They're just completely engulfed in their house in flames.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I wonder what happened to those people. You know, it seems like, you know, everybody else's house was mowed to the ground.
You think they would be panicking if they were in that situation.
Well, they would have passed away. I mean, you know, they're caught on fire. They wouldn't be able to escape their home because they were surrounded by fire. Apparently, you know, follow-up tweets, they were okay. They got out.
That's good.
Now think about this. 35,000 acres.
Yeah.
To put that in perspective, Madison, the city of Madison, you know, the isthmus going all the way out to Easttown, all the way out to Westtown, that's about 62,000 acres. And this fire covers 35,000 acres.
Wow.
So that would be like basically
half the whole city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hometown news station posted a graphic on social media yesterday. If you put it in a square, it's about 5.5 by 5 square miles or like miles square. And this is up in Wausau. So if you take all of Wausau, the entire city plus like 1.5 suburbs of like the places that I grew up, they'd just be gone.
Yeah. They also said, you know, they come up with all these comparisons, like 800 football fields. 800.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it boggles the mind. So what did Trump have to say about that?
Well, they showed a whole hillside, you know. They showed it before, and then they showed it after with infrared cameras.
Yes.
And it was...
it's crazy.
It's like hell.
Yes,
right?
It is.
All right, so...
it's devastated.
Our future president, of course, you know, had a hard time focusing. In Trump's first public statement addressing the devastating fires... He ripped into California Governor Gavin Newsom, or Newsom, as he calls him. He uses these events, all of these situations, to attack Democrats and people he doesn't like. That's what he uses these events for. It's not to get a message out or help people out or help deal with it or say he's there, he's going to do whatever he can to make their lives better. Instead, he attacks people every which way. And I don't even know where to go with this. You heard from a friend of ours.
John Roach, our pal John Roach, had this comment on Facebook here, I thought this was really good and says a lot. In the midst of the L.A. tragedy, Trump the toxic clown has chosen this time to mock the city and its people, particularly Hollywood. Every industry has its downside and excesses.
Yep.
Just look at tech or finance. But it's important to note that the entertainment industry contributes $720 billion a year to the U.S. economy while employing hundreds of thousands of Americans in film, TV, animation, music, video games. The industry is filled with entrepreneurs, and while U.S. exports have fallen in manufacturing over the last half century, Hollywood exported content has blossomed. And more importantly, no industry over the last century has done a better job of communicating the American promise and concept of freedom than Hollywood, which is why the world loves John Wayne and Tom Hanks more than Donald Trump. That's from John Roach on Facebook. I mean, think of all the jobs. And, you know, he's targeting Gavin Newsom, of course, you know, and they're talking about the shortage of water and why is all this happening? They should have done something else. But, you know, I mean, To not offer, like you say, a helping hand or say, you know, we're going to help you. I mean,
there are plenty of
Republicans out there that lost their homes, too.
Exactly.
It's not just Democrats and liberals that live out there. There's plenty of all types of political
One Karen ran into Governor Newsom getting into his vehicle. He was on the phone, and she just kept haranguing him. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? My kid's school is burning down. What are you going to do about it? I mean, obviously, this person has some professional ability to, you know, make something out of this for a video, and it was of course recorded conveniently, oddly, strangely. So just a few facts to kind of clear up a lot of the nonsense that Trump was spewing out there. Southern California has been starved of rain after a summer of record-breaking temperatures, which scientists have blamed on climate change. And I think the whole reason for the criticisms he has for Newsom and maybe, you know, not directing a lot of the water runoff of the mountains in the northern part of the state and stream it down to the southern part of the state. Well, it's not like you're just, you know, a big tunnel.
Yeah. Open up the spigot.
Yeah. It's not like that.
Doesn't quite work that
way. By the way, they're working on a system like that.
Right.
They have put something like that in place.
Yeah.
And it is a project that is planned to go into effect very, very soon.
Right.
They just don't have something like that. There is a certain amount of runoff that they can redirect into the area. But here's the point. Los Angeles and San Diego have seen less than a centimeter of rainfall. Okay, so that kind of gives you an idea how dry it is.
Yeah, over the last year, eight months.
At this time of the year, the Santa Ana winds bring dry air from the east, which makes plant matter drier and more susceptible to catching fire. I'm reading this. The winds from October to April also make fires spread further and faster, which is what happened here. This is normally a time when they get the rains, but they haven't gotten the rains.
Right.
But they did get the winds.
Yeah.
And they're running. Are they running out of water? Well, the hydrants in the hilly areas of the city ran dry because of falling water pressure. Mm-hmm. Okay. It caused large amounts of water not being used for putting out the fires. And the amount being drained from the tanks in lower altitude areas also contributed to that as well. In the Pacific Palisades neighborhood, firefighters drew water faster than the tanks could be refilled. Mm. And that's another reason why the hydrants kind of went dry for a while. They have to refill. So a lot of this stuff is misdirections. It's all lies. It's all BS. And he's going to try to get, you know, whatever he can out of this. His I don't know why he needs to get his cult activated and angry about this, but he feels like he has to. A few other Republicans had some commentary. Richard Grenell, a Trump Republican, said the far left policies of Democrats in California are literally burning us to the ground. Okay. You know, it's called climate change. Bill Essley, a Republican from Riverside, said, "We have to end bad environmental policies that have prevented us from managing our wild lands." No, it's called climate change again. And, you know, as much as they want to blame, you know, not raking the leaves, that's not it. Mm. That is not it.
And on it goes, and they don't have control of it yet.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people out there that hate Governor Newsom, you know.
Yeah.
He gets in their crawl. Why don't we play a song dedicated to getting rid of Governor Newsom? Let's play it.
I wish we all could leave California now. Wish we all could leave California. I wish we all could leave California.
Let's go to the phones here. We've got Mark waiting online. Mark, what have you got?
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. And I saw where actor Zach Levy was actually criticizing the leadership out there. That's the reason they're in trouble with the problem. You know, Zach Levy from Chuck fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like the guy's movies, acting stuff. But I'm kind of pretty disgusted by this. But I mean, you're getting back to good old Brad Schimmel. I wonder what Brad Schimmel would do to somebody where they were acting like the way Trump did in toward Brad Schimmel, the way Trump did in his trials, with all the contempt of toward the judge.
That's a very good point. Yeah, he's a judge.
Bradley, and you're insulting the guy and going out with having little press conferences and saying what a turd that Brad Schimmel is. That of course he is a turd. But he is just a real piece of work. I mean, that I've said before. I think he's pretty corrupt now. He gets money from probably American Families.
Yeah.
Family Association that little Scotty Jensen works for, that he arranged for Scotty to be a lobbyist after he should have been permanently banned from lobbying after his felony conviction in Dane County. But of course, no, we got to move the trial to Waukesha County because you can't get a fair trial if you're a Republican in Dane County.
That's right. That's right. And just appear on Vicki McKenna's show tells you a lot. Not only that, of course, using the word lawfare, I think says it all.
Mark, thank you for that call. We got to move along here. Right. 18 past the hour, and
we've got a little bit more as well.
Okay. All right. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Green Bay Packers lead the way. A victory is our cry. We have the will to win. We have the finest men. Take
the
charge to do or die.
That's great stuff. This is Johnny Gordy in the morning, 92.7 WMDX, and we're playing that because we have Pam Yonke, the Midwest Farm Report.
Yeah.
And she's reporting on The Green and Gold, a new film that's out there.
Good morning, Pam.
Morning. It's not out there yet. It's going to be premiering or debuting, I should say, on January 31st in, theaters nationwide.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no kidding. Wow.
And yeah, you mentioned off the air here that you saw just about 20 minutes of the film. You were at the premiere.
Yeah, they had I'll be honest with you. Last time that I went to a red carpet event, it was when a company revealed a new herbicide. So
That's great.
Lambeau Field with a red carpet debuted, completely different situation all the way around. Yeah. But they had invited in, it was really kind of a family reunion of sorts. So the producer director of the Green and Gold movie, which is a story about a dairy farmer that is struggling to make ends meet and basically bets on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. This is set in the 90s. That's the focal point of Green and Gold. And they had the red carpet kind of premiere at Lambeau Field in the atrium. I was on my holiday vacation, but there's no way you were going to keep me away from that combination.
Absolutely.
Of Lambeau Field and dairy farming. So I beat over there, and they wrote my name down on a piece of paper and threw it on the floor near the red carpet. That was where I was supposed to stand.
Well, it's pretty formal.
I guess that's the way it goes. Yeah. I wasn't the only one, so I didn't feel like I was being ostracized.
No.
And the good part was I was at the end of the red carpet, so I was the last person they talked to, which meant I had more time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that I got a chance to visit with was Craig T. Nelson. So as probably people remember, he sang the national anthem last week.
Yes.
And contrary to what you might believe, he actually has quite a bit of tie to not only agriculture, but to Wisconsin.
Mm.
He was telling me a little bit, and I don't know if you guys want to use the clips or not, but he mentioned something about his farming background and why this was not a completely foreign role to him. He's got a farming background.
All right, well, let's play it.
Yeah.
It comes in the blood. You know, my family's farmers, and they've got the Nelson family farm in Volga, which is still going on. So when I say that, it's tongue-in-cheek. You don't make friends with a lot of cows, and I mean a lot of them. So you kind of have to get to know them, which is like getting to know co-stars who have huge egos. It was fun. I mean, I got a chance to meet a lot of wonderful people and dairy farmers and cattle farmers and wheat farmers and people, you know, that I guess the salt of the earth, really, for me. Very funny people, very, you know, sarcastic, witty. And then you've got the Packers fans who are totally insane and wonderful. So it's, you know, it's like coming home, really. I mean, my great-grandparents lived in Ettrick, Wisconsin, so in the West. So that's where they settled. And one of my best friends is from Eau Claire. And then one of my other best friends is from Baraboo.
Oh, for the...
Yeah, so we were pretty connected.
So he knows Gordy here.
No. Yeah, I'm from Baraboo. No.
Spent a little time in Baraboo.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool connection. And he was very sincere. He's very tall. Man, he must be over 6 foot. But very sincere about the story that he was telling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, the angle I had was I wanted to know about the farmers that helped them to shoot this. All of it was basically shot up in Door County by Sisters Bay. And the challenge was to find a dairy barn that was still available from that period of time. So they had to turn to local farmers. Now, the two guys that produced it, Davin and, and I'm going to forget, Anders, they are from Upper Michigan originally, but they're farm kids by nature. Their grandfather was farming, and they were out there all the time. That's kind of what inspired them. They told me that they had an offer from another movie studio to take over the project, but that they were going to move the film site out of Wisconsin to a state that had cinema credits. And they said absolutely not. So they walked away from big money to keep it in Wisconsin, in Door County. So 90% of Door County was at the Lambeau Atrium to check this out. And most of them played some kind of a role. A lot of area farmers brought their cattle over so that they, you know, had dairy there in the barn, their equipment, and a lot of things like that. And and Davin, one of the producer directors, was very honest. He said, "We didn't have budget, so a lot of those people volunteered their time, volunteered their livestock, volunteered their equipment,
of course they
and
would.
Did it repeatedly."
Yeah.
So It was pretty cool. The one story that I thought was kind of funny is they said there's a birthing scene in one of the parts of the movie, and they sat and stared at the rear ends of about a dozen dairy cows on a cold January night, waiting for something to happen. After about 12 hours of vigilance, wow. They decided they were giving it up. They got packed up and left. 4 hours later, a dairy farmer's on the phone to them, get over here fast, it's happening now, and they actually captured it. Oh. And it's one of the scenes of the movie they said they've gotten the greatest feedback on. Mm-hmm. People just don't know.
Yeah.
People have no clue about birthing a dairy calf. And so they had to kind of, they had to fit that scene in minus Craig and his co-star. But anyhow, I don't want to steal too much of it, but it's just one of those things that you want to know about before you walk in. Green and Gold premiering on January 31st. And like I said, if you see people you recognize from Northeast Wisconsin, you are correct, because they really kept it close to the vest on how Wisconsin was going to play a role.
Boy, that is so cool, and it's also a message to our Republican legislature to maybe get those cinema credits going again. Seriously,
I thought the same thing. Thought the same thing, that might be something that comes up again especially if the film gets the critical success that it's seen in some of the independent film competition.
Right, we almost lost the Green Bay Packers. All right, Pam, that is a wonderful story.
Pam Yockey, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Great weekend, guys.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
It's the fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yockey, Midwest Farm Report.
We should have asked her how it ends, how the movie ends.
No, but she didn't see the whole movie. She only saw 24
she
minutes.
She heard what happened at the end.
Okay. All right, we're coming back with more of John and Gordy. Idiocracy right around the corner.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Department Store, which this week only is featuring its annual clearance sale. No, not clearance. This is their clearance sale. Any customer named Clarence will receive 15% off any purchase during this week only. Offer void where not prohibited by law.
I thought they were finally clearing out all the clearances.
No,
there's not a lot of them left.
More
so.
Clearances to clear out.
Okay. Yep. That's good to know.
Okay. This portion of the John and Gordy Show also brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go to verlo.com.
All right. Time once again. Our special guest, Mike McCabe, in the studio from Substack, and so many topics, so much time has elapsed since your last visit here, and I guess we could jump in. Maybe let's talk about the Dylan movie, because we've talked about Bob Dylan on this show 100,000 times. My sister ended up getting picked up by Bob Dylan.
She was here in Madison, went to Chicago with him, right?
Right. Do you ever hear that story?
I never knew that.
She's one of these Mensa people, and she came to college here in Madison when she was 16 years old. And she went to a Dylan concert and ran into Dylan with her girlfriend backstage. And he said, hey, come on down to Chicago with me on my bus. And they went and took the bus down there and found out how old she was and took the bus back. So didn't last long, but, you know.
But you saw the movie. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. What did you
was
think
that
of
in
it?
There?
that story was not in the movie.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, the movie focuses on when he goes to New York. Mm-hmm. So it goes from 1961 to 1965. Mm-hmm. And just focuses on those 4 years. If people haven't seen it, it's a hell of a movie, and well worth watching. A complete
don't give
unknown.
Away the ending.
Look, a complete unknown.
Yeah,
But I tell you, not only is it fascinating if you're a Dylan fan, mm-hmm. it's just fascinating if you just like music and you watch somebody's evolution and he's singing iconic songs and getting booed.
Sure.
Because he's playing with electric instruments all of a sudden. He's no yeah. longer just up there, yeah. you know, performing right. as the traditional right. folk star. So you watch his evolution as a musician, his willingness to break new trails. And if you just also, it's a great examination of the history of the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interestingly, what it did to me is it kind of triggered memories of reading Grapes of Wrath ages mm-hmm. ago. Oh. And so I picked it up again. I picked up John Steinbeck and read a little bit. And so I wrote an article on Substack about, you know, about the Dylan movie and you know, included some lyrics from mm-hmm. from a powerful song that he wrote. But then I also include passages from chapter 25 from Grapes of Wrath. And Steinbeck wrote about you know, potatoes being thrown in a river and lined by guards so the people couldn't fish out the potatoes and oranges being thrown in a pile to rot, all because they wanted to keep the prices up.
Wow.
So and here people in that, you know, in that depression era are starving and they're desperate for food, and here's all this surplus food just going to waste, and you can't help but think about today when people are being denied cancer treatment or they're being denied you know, a life-saving procedure or, you know, some needed surgery because doggone it, you got to keep the profit margins up.
That's
and
right.
and you know, it, there's so many parallels from then to now, just as there were so many parallels from the early 1960s when the Dylan movie is set to what we're going through right now in our country.
Yeah, I know.
Big changes.
I know the move to electric was a stunning moment. I know my sister freaked out a little bit, and a lot of people did, because not only did Dylan do that, but a few of the bluegrass groups at that time, I think the Dillards were strictly acoustic, and they went electric as well. So a lot of people were shocked by the move to electric. I mean, most of their instruments were still, you know, acoustic, but they were amplified.
He was singing for the first time some iconic songs that went on to become legendary.
Oh, but and, we still are.
And
yes.
beloved yes. songs that yes. have then been re-recorded by so many other artists, and,
sure.
and they've influenced so many. And people grew to love those songs, but there were a lot of people in the audience booing at the time because, my God, that was just not done. That you
at a folk festival,
a folk festival to play that way,
yeah.
And and he was somebody who just couldn't be corralled.
Yeah.
Was that the band, the first his electric band?
Yeah,
there were members of the band. Yeah, backing him up. Yeah,
that's
Robbie
right.
Robbie Robertson.
That's right.
Garth
and
Hudson.
And as they booed, he told them to crank it up.
Yeah,
I had such a hard time accepting the organ for a while.
You know, really?
But it works. It works so well. And you listen back to the old tunes, and they're just they are truly legendary.
Yeah, that songs. That electric organ, the note that starts out, and people are like, "What the heck is that?" You can't start a song that way. And now it's such a captivating sound, and we all have grown to love those songs.
Absolutely. You know, it was a shocker that he sold his entire library to Sony, I believe. So now he's just in retirement, working off the money he made, selling his material.
Well, he's really stopped being on tour,
he still performs.
He's still
He's in his 80s, and he's still out there performing.
Yeah.
I know that
I saw Dylan once.
Oh, you did?
With Willie Nelson.
Yeah,
oh.
Same here. Probably the same tour.
Yeah.
I don't know, 15 years ago or so.
Yeah. And you know, I think if you want to hear all of his old songs sung the way you remember them played, you're going to be disappointed at a Dylan concert.
Right.
Because I would sometimes be a minute and a half into a song before I would recognize what song they were playing.
Exactly.
They had changed the arrangements, and he refuses to be corralled. But if you're willing, if you're open to that, it's a hell of an experience.
I was going to tell the story. Yeah. I have a live recording of his version of Knocking on Heaven's Door. And he does it, you know how you say, he knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. he doesn't sing that part of it there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He waits till the second part to sing that particular set of lyrics. So he delays all of the lyrics in the song to later.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fascinating.
Oh, sometimes he would just mumble lyrics. Sure. I think he said, you know, I'm tired of singing those, and so I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
And he would just sort of mumble certain lyrics. And I read a music review from that same concert tour.
Yeah.
And it was basically a positive review.
Yeah.
But the reviewer took her daughter, maybe it was her son, middle school age or early high school, and the kid said there really should be subtitles.
That was the tour. I think he was going to a lot of minor league ballparks.
Yeah.
And it was great, actually. Yeah. I saw him in South Bend.
And he came to Warner Park.
Yeah. Okay.
He and Willie came to Warner Park in Madison.
Yeah. Of course, Willie Nelson was wonderful, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
I could understand his lyrics.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But it's guitar. You know, you wonder how long that thing is going to hold together. That is beat up. Mm-hmm. If any guitar is beat up, that's the one.
All right, you guys should go to the movie.
Okay.
Well, absolutely.
Well, we're checking
it out. Yeah.
So you think of the performance, the guy who plays Dylan.
I'll tell you.
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet. A lot of people, I think, kind of think he's just a pretty boy or whatever.
Yeah.
Boy, does he deliver in this movie.
Mm. Yeah.
He not only plays Dylan convincingly, he performs on stage as Dylan convincingly.
Yeah.
The guy.
He does sing. He's a performer.
And he plays the guitar. He was a delight to watch. A lot of times you see somebody playing some famous musician or some famous figure, and it's a good effort, but it's not quite there. Boy, does he nail Dylan.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Well, the last time I remember a really good performance, nailing it, of course, it was Elvis, but the one prior to that was Buddy Holly, and I can't remember the star's name who played it way mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. when. And it was just an incredible mm-hmm. magnetic mm-hmm. performance, but that worked. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go see that, definitely. Now, in fact, I'm going to do that immediately. Maybe my
really?
My sons can get in an illegal version on
line. Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't like that. Let's get into something. Let's get into something you were talking about on your latest Substack, and that is how, as children are attracted to mud, playing in the mud. It's true. You know, we're fascinated by what water does to mud, dirt, rather, you know, right? And then you also said, well, then, but grown-ups are attracted to power. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're talking about here.
I wrote it on January 6th. And so really the article is about January 6th.
Mm.
You know, and the article is titled "Mud and Power."
Yeah.
But it's really about the what happened 4 years ago on January 6th, and I relate in the article my own experience witnessing a coup d'état back in 1991 in the West African country of Mali, and the thing about coups. It is, you'd think that government overthrows have to be really meticulously planned and very, very methodically executed. But in fact, if you actually witness one, they come out of nowhere and they seem random and they seem spontaneous and you just don't see them coming. So if anybody thinks they can anticipate a government overthrow, they can't.
Yeah,
It's not
like the entire country goes with it. It's just like in this one area.
See, that's the thing.
Coup is taking place.
Exactly. That's the thing is you'd think that a revolution would touch every corner of a country, and that every place would be in upheaval. And in fact, I lived just 20 miles outside of the capital of Mali, and life was completely normal 20 miles away from the nation's capital. And even when you went to the capital, parts of the capital were completely normal. Life was as it always is. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like the country was on the verge of revolution.
Except when you went to the bank.
except when I went to the bank.
And they had military all
right. I made a turn. Everything looked normal. And the streets were bustling and merchants were hawking their wares. And I made a turn around a corner and all of a sudden there are tanks and armed soldiers with guns raised. And of course, I turned tail and went the other way, only to find facing me in the other direction a mob of protesters coming.
Wow.
And I'm in the middle of this and found a little back alley and darted down there, as did many merchants, as they were getting their products off the street and throwing them into little brick buildings. And I could hear the metal doors banging as I ran down the street. And I circled around and took a circuitous route to the bank and went about my business. And later that day heard that I think it was a half a dozen or eight people were killed in that confrontation. Yeah. And went back to the village where I lived, and life seemed completely normal again. Mm-hmm. And then some days later heard that the government had fallen, a military dictator had been deposed, and that set the stage for the development of a democratically elected government. And so what I saw on January 6th of 2021 reminded me so much of what I had witnessed in 1991.
There's a line in your story, and I love this. Institutions built on ground can quickly dissolve into mud.
Mm-hmm.
And just that wrapped it up for me. That was fantastic.
And what mud is to children, power is to grown-ups.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're drawn. That's great. Some are drawn to it.
Hey, you're a good writer.
Thank you.
What do you got there?
Well, I was just going to say, during your time off, did you do any book signings or anything like that, or did you just
take
it down for a couple of weeks?
I actually had some surgery done in December to repair a tear in my stomach wall, and so I decided to lay off the book events, but they're coming back. I've got some coming up. One in Oshkosh, one in Spring Green, and another one coming up in Milwaukee soon. So
great,
good enough.
Yeah,
I want to talk about healthcare next.
We will come back with more with Mike McCabe right around the corner.
We'll later be fast as the present now. We'll later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times, they are a-changing.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. Apologize for talking over the lyrics, Bob Dylan.
Back with Mike McCabe.
Yeah, Mike McCabe, our guest. This Dylan thing. I always wish that somewhere along the way, we have pretty turbulent times now. It would be fantastic to have another Dylan appear someplace, somewhere in this country, some musician that could duplicate, relating what's going on now.
I have a 25-year-old son, and we saw the movie together because he was home for the holidays, and I asked him afterwards, I said there doesn't seem to be those kinds of poets
exactly
in today's musical scene. I said, who's the poet today? And he said he agreed with me. He said there's not a lot of Dylan-like poetry in today's music. And I said, so who's the poet? And he said his answer was Kendrick Lamar. And so maybe the poetry has been channeled into hip hop, or and is being done in the form of rap. But yeah, that was Casey's answer. He said he's Kendrick Lamar. But he agreed. He said a lot of the stuff is the lyrics are pretty empty, and you don't hear somebody you know, singing this kind of stuff that Dylan was singing, but he did point to hip hop as sort of the one area where he sees poetry.
Green Day,
yep,
does their best at it.
Yep.
The American Dream is Killing Me is my absolute favorite song lately.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This decade basically.
Yeah,
I just love that.
But
it
even Green Day's a little old.
It is.
Yeah. You know that's a little old. Yep.
Well. I don't know. I miss having somebody with that kind of voice. And, you know, I think he really did bring about change in this country. He helped along mm-hmm. the 60s and all of the different things that we had ventured into, you know, women's liberation, the sexual revolution, the protests against the war.
Yeah, and thanks, going to war. And thanks, Sam, for playing that last clip as you came back on the air, because that's that organ that was playing in that song. That's what was getting booed at the at the folk festival. And you listen to that song now, and what a wonderful sound and what powerful lyrics. And yet when Dylan first played that that music, he was getting booed.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I've seen some interviews with him over the last few years where he talks about when they ask him, well, you know, how come you don't write songs like that anymore? And he just says, the well is empty. You know, I don't.
Isn't that amazing?
That was a certain time, a certain place, and those songs just came to him.
Right.
I mean, just one right after another.
You can't even imagine having done that stuff.
Right.
He doesn't. Right? It's like a different person.
But he kept writing into the 70s, into the 80s, into the 90s, and he's still he has still written well into the 21st century. So it's not like, you know, the well was empty for that kind of song that he was writing in the early 60s, but then he wrote amazing music.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff. But he just continued to grow.
And continues to tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Well, there was another folk singer at the time, Dick Campbell. Now, no one knows about him, but he was a good songwriter.
I remember Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, Glenn Campbell. But Dick Campbell was a good songwriter, except he tried to have his musical sound very much like Dylan's with the electric sound and the organ. And people rejected him outright for copying Dylan.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a good thing to do at the time, at least trying to mimic that particular great sound that he had, that catchy tune. So what do you got, Gord?
We got about 2 minutes or so.
Just all right. Now, you had a piece. You referenced a Guardian article about health care. And, you know, looking over the article from the Guardian, it talked an awful lot about all the people that have been harmed by insurance companies and by the health care system, the private system that we have in this country. And it is amazing that this has gone under the radar for so damn long. It just drives me crazy. You know, on this show, we push universal health care because it's the only solution, and it'll solve so many of our problems that we have in this country. So this article, it seemed like that's what it was pointing to.
And our population's been propagandized for so many decades to, you know, to fear socialized medicine, and there will be these long waits, and there will, you know, and you won't be able to get care, and there will be
rationing.
There will be rationing of care. And what do we have now? But you try to get an appointment, and they say, well, we're scheduling out 6 months.
Exactly.
And that's a routine experience now. So the very thing that we were taught to fear is what we're experiencing now. And on top of that, there's denial of claims, and there's needed care that's deemed medically unnecessary, and just to keep the profit margins up.
One of the things that I think one of the cruelest elements of all of this is that because of the deductibles and copays, we self-ration.
Yep.
They forced us to ration our own health care.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's inhumane, if it's anything.
And America stands alone as the only industrialized country in the world that hasn't gone the route of universal health care. And we're told that, oh, you can't make it work. It's like this Rube Goldberg, contraption that it'll never work. And every other industrialized nation on Earth has managed to make it work just fine.
They've created the wheel. All we have to do is just borrow parts of that wheel and put our own wheel together.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Isn't it more complicated with the U.S. because we are 50 disparate states?
No, it actually isn't.
It's 50 different countries in the European Union, whatever it is.
They want to make it that way.
And they all are different.
Yeah, they want to make it that way, Catherine. Good point, though.
We could go on, but we can't. We're out of time. Yeah, Mike, always good to see you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
Happy day, guys.
Coming up tomorrow, Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Also, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils talking education. Stephanie Miller's coming up next. John, have a great day. Sam, you too.
Gordy, same to you. That's very
Thank
nice
you.
Of you to
Thank
say.
Thank you very
never,
much.
You
let's
really
go
never
have some
say
pancakes.
That to anybody.
Let's go to...
John Gordy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.